This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The Locker Room.
Good evening, Melbourne, and this is World News Tonight. No, only kidding. Of course, it's the Locker Room, and I'm joined.
What an introduction.
I know. I felt like I was in a whole new radio, broadcasting live from 220 Bourke Street, Melbourne, coming to you. Smithy, welcome.
Yeah, great to be here, as always. It's just so much sport happening around town at the moment. It's exciting.
Well, exactly. I mean, it must have taken me an hour to make my way through the traffic jams. But anyway, I'm Mark Rowley-Roland, of course. Thanks to Glenn from the Royal Daltons for bringing us home in the drive, and he saved me from going onto the on-ramp onto the Monash just in time for me to make it to the show. Of course, thanks to Gary on the news desk. He won't be here till tomorrow. He had a lovely article about ferret racing before in Hobart. You're not allowed to touch the ferret or dress the ferrets up, I hear. So
they've got some strange rules down there in Tasmania.
Well, I know, exactly right. So what is happening tonight on the show, Smithy?
We've got some boys from the Melbourne Surge who are coming in here. Now, that's Melbourne's own gay and inclusive water polo team.
But we don't have a webcam.
Yeah, no.
Radio doesn't really do them justice, does it, really?
We'll take some photos and put them on Twitter. They're fully clothed.
Ah, yeah. We'll sort that out.
Yeah, okay. They've got their upcoming grudge match against their arch rival, the Stingers, from Sydney, coming up. So we're going to have a chat with the boys about
They're useless.
That
but anyway.
And their season.
That's Sydney, of course, not our team.
I was going to say, that was a bit rude. Activist Jason Ball, he was recently invited by the AFL to speak to its new players about homophobia in our great game. So we're going to find out about this and his other efforts to try and make our national sport, I think, more inclusive.
Brilliant.
I'm going to bring another editorial to the table. Mm. I'm going to ask the question that maybe we all need to stop obsessing over who's gay and who's not, for the benefit of everyone.
Why not?
In sport.
I like it when somebody comes out, it's news, front page, Tom Daly, he's gay, likes men.
You're going to have to get over it. And plus the usual roundup and what's on this week. As always, here on The Locker Room, we value your feedback. Your thoughts are important to us, so send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Plus, you can link to our Facebook page and Twitter feed via the Joy website. But I guess now, Rolly, I should let you do your roundup.
Look, don't worry about watching any more of the Australian Open. I'm about to announce the winners. It's Lee Na and Joe Wilfried Tsonga are this year's Australian Open champions. Considering Tsonga has already been knocked out out of this year's tournament by Roger Federer, it's quite a remarkable achievement, Smithy.
Tell me more. I don't understand.
Well, according to Rolex, Rolex's ads, and bizarrely on their website still this morning, they're congratulating Tsonga and Lee, putting up their scores. And the weird thing is for Wilfried Tsonga, they've put up a picture of Tiger Woods holding a golfing trophy. So what a cracking...
Awkward.
This is what happens when you outsource your website content to Afghanistan. They just sort of copy and paste images off Google.
It's especially a bad look to be inaccurate when you're marketing watches. Like, they're sort of known... their accuracy.
Well, according to Rolex, it congratulates Joe Wilfried Tsonga on his winning his first Australian Open and first Grand Slam title. Tsonga reached the Australian Open final in 2008, a feat that continues to be the closest he's come to winning a major championship. So, and they've even got one there for Lee Na. So, they've gone to the effort of,
prepared a bunch of content for players who were probably never likely to win it in any event. Like, you could be forgiven if they were like, congratulations on Rafael Nadal and winning another one. Like, you probably would want to have that ready.
Mm.
But Joe Wilfried Tsonga, he hasn't really troubled the finals.
No.
For a while.
So,
it's very presumptuous.
Yeah. So anyway, Rolex, well, mate, yeah. But, you know, in today's language, you know, you put it up, it's a bit of advertising. People talk about it. What do they call it? Anyway, I'll move on.
Bit of a bait and switch.
So Channel 7 has been served up twice this week. Firstly, for their decision to film American Sloane Stephens' reaction to Serena Williams' shock loss. And, of course, has been forced to defend the speculation that she was rejoicing at Williams' anguish. Channel 7 has come back, however. So there's this clip of Sloane Stephens laughing and big smile as Williams went down. Channel 7, however, has come out and said the vision of Stephens, who had a big smile on her face, was the Americans' impression of Ivanovic's support crew. But, of course, that did little to fan the flame. So, of course, she was playing... I haven't got it. An Ivanovic. I've got pronouncing the names right, of course. It's a little help, but of course, the two Americans haven't seen eye to eye since Stephens knocked Williams out of the Australian Open in the quarterfinals last year. After that, Williams stopped following Stephens on Twitter. Yeah. So that's supposed to be the big insult at the moment, isn't it?
So there's rumours abound that Channel 7's about to axe Today Tonight. So maybe all the Today Tonight people have been put on the tennis coverage and they're doing that thing where, like, they film your reaction to something completely different and then cut it into what their interviewer was saying to fool you.
Goodbye Today Tonight. Psychologists, the other thing they've been served up for this week, psychologist Dr. Christopher Morgan was so outraged by Seven's commentary team Jim Courier and Leighton Hewitt commenting about Nadal's habitual on-court behaviours that he says he's been forced to lodge a formal complaint. He says he's fearful of the distress it could cause sufferers of the disabling mental illness OCD. So, basically, there's a thing saying that Rafael Nadal's got OCD. He does all these funny things on court. And they're saying that, you know, he's...
What kind of funny things does he do?
Well, where have we got here? So, Dr. Morgan, Felt, Curry and Hewitt were over the top discussing Nadal's on-court antics, which include lining up water bottles, one cold, one hot, with the labels facing the end he is about to play from, constantly picking the undies out of his bum, refusing to step on lines between points, only crossing lines with his right foot first, walking in squares randomly at odd times, running his thumb and finger down his nose before each point, and also pushing the hair behind his ears.
So for anyone who's a really hardcore AFL fan, they'd know that those little superstitions, I mean, that can make the difference between winning and losing. I don't think that's OCD at all. That's just...
Oh, really?
That's just normal sports superstition, I reckon.
Well, no, he's coming out saying this is OCD and we've got to cut it out and cut him some slack because...
Be respectful.
Yeah, but...
All right. Well, we should go with the experts, don't you think?
Well, yeah. Leighton Hewitt or the experts? I'm not quite
sure. Yeah, I'm backing the expert over Leighton. Look, you know, unless it's about serving technique, I'm backing the expert over Leighton Hewitt.
And, of course, Novak Djokovic last night lost to Stanislaw Wawrinka.
Yeah.
The Swiss. And so the last time he ever won anything was when he teamed up with Roger Federer in the doubles at the Olympics. So that was a great game last night and watched it. And, I must admit I was slightly happy to see Djokovic go down. Is that wrong? I was doing a Sloane Stephens last night.
That just means, Rolly, you've become an Australian and you're backing the underdog.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, that's right.
You're one of us now. Congratulations.
Oh, there you go. Correct. Smithy, here's one for you. If you correctly predict the outcome of every game in the NCAA men's basketball tournament in America, sorry, didn't get the NCAA for you, there's now a $1 billion prize waiting for anybody able to pull off this feat.
This is March Madness.
Yeah, it's crazy. So a Detroit-based lender has teamed up with Warren Buffett. They're going to offer you, if you get it, they'll give you 40 annual installments of $25 million. The winner can also elect to either receive immediately the $500 million, or they can take the $25 and get the billion over time. ESPN has run the tournament challenge for the past 16 years. It has included President Barack Obama, and they've never had a perfect bracket in over 30 million entries, according to the network. So there you are.
College basketball is huge in the United States. March Madness.
Oh, is that what it is?
Over.
NCAA.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
there
it's
you
college
go.
Basketball.
Oh, National College Association of. Oh, I don't know. Of course. So there you go. The world's best athletes are in for a weird surprise when they head to the Winter Olympics in Sochi next month. A photo of men's toilet cubicles in the Olympic complexes. A number of them now feature twin toilets sitting side by side. So one cubicle, two toilets, two rolls of toilet paper. It's caused quite the buzz on social media in Russia. Russia's opposition leader has come out questioning how the budget for the most expensive Olympic Games in history at $50 billion. Of course, the London Olympics came in at $9 billion. The issue of the twin toilets was first picked up at the Laura Ski and Biathlon Centre by British media. And the ironic thing was, so the British media have got right onto this, asking the spokesman, do the twin toilets link with the biathlon? And the spokesman had to run away and find out. But, however, he came back to confirm it was a combination of cross-country skiing and shooting. So they don't require the twin toilets. How weird is that? I wonder what that's about, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe they've been to the Peel or something and they thought that, you know, more than one person goes into a toilet routinely.
Oh, there you go. Go and watch each other. And then the other thing is Big Bash has been very successful for Channel 10 this year. So their $100 million investment, people are actually watching the cricket.
Yeah,
so
how about that? Like, cricket's having a bit of a renaissance this summer. I think people are getting excited about it again. Maybe it's because Australia's winning again.
I think it's the green and yellow KFC buckets. I just think they've toned down the they were trying to make out it was an intelligent sport and it was too highbrow. They've got people walking around with buckets of chicken on their head, and I feel like that's just...
You know, I've always
wondered, feel like I could, you know...
Tell me, do you go to KFC and do they give you a clean bucket or do you use the one that's got all the grease from all the fried
chicken? That's where they give you a refreshing towel.
Okay.
We're going to be here all night, so you keep listening. You're in the locker room on Joy at 94.9.
The world's most uplifting radio station. Joy 94.9.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The locker room.
You're in the locker room tonight with Rowley and Smithy. When it comes to sporting rivalries, you have the Aussies and Poms in the cricket, Queensland and New South Wales in the rugby league, Federer and Nadal, and yet another hot rivalry is hotting up, the Melbourne Surge and the Sydney Stingers. Melbourne's gay water polo team have their grudge match this weekend against the Stingers right here in Melbourne. And here to tell us more are Sebastian and Julian, from the Surge. So guys, this match is a pretty big deal to you.
Yeah, it certainly is. We have the joy of playing Sydney normally twice a year, and we go up to them once, they come down here once, and it's always a hard physical tussle in the water.
Where's Brisbane and all this, and Adelaide? Or what are we sort of, you know, just Sydney and Melbourne, the epicentres of water polo?
Yeah, it's interesting. Brisbane, I think, is very strong in water polo outside of the gay competition, I suppose. Mm. We've heard rumours that there's a bit of a mixed team kind of occurring up there, but we're yet to sort of see them and field a team in against us.
There's nothing better than beating a straight team, I must say, Smithy.
I haven't had that experience yet. So I wonder what it feels like. Boys, we believe this is a repeat of the World Out Games final from last year. How's the rivalry panning out? Like, are we ahead or are we behind? How are we going?
Well, it really depends. Usually when they come down here, we tend to win, which is a really good thing. But when we go up to Sydney, we tend to lose. So it's kind of half-half.
So what are you think they're putting something in the water, or you're just not used to
probably,
Sydney water,
probably,
a bit harder?
Yeah.
Are the pools different in some way?
Nah, triangles up in Sydney.
I guess it's just the players going or not going. Like, it's easier. We have more players when we play here, they have more players when they play there. Like, it's all
so Antwerp must have been pretty amazing then. So,
because Antwerp, all the players went, so that was a little bit more intense than when we play here. In Australia, I mean. But we won that one, so we're happy.
And so, you're hotting up for Cleveland, or are you guys not going over there? Because, of course, Cleveland have got their. So I always get confused, Smithy. So we've got the out games at Antwerp and we've got the gay games.
Yeah, gay games in Queensland.
Typical, and they don't talk to each other. It's sort of, no, I don't know what happened.
It's awkward. It's very awkward. And you just made it more awkward, I think.
And you're not supposed to talk about it. So are we representing in Cleveland this year?
It's still in discussion, I think. But
jeez, you better hurry up. When is it? It's August, isn't it?
Yeah. For the moment, nothing's planned on our side. We're not too sure what Sin is doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, not at the moment.
We don't need to worry about Sydney. You go over there and represent the world. So, Sebastian, I'm assuming you're French. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So, of course, you came to Australia knowing lots of people or not knowing many people?
I had a couple of friends from the water polo team, actually. I was actually not playing water polo before I came here. Mm-hmm. Came here about 3 years ago and started playing water polo here. So I've swam for 20 years before that.
Well,
but still, water polo was fairly new to me. So,
what motivates someone? Like, what is it that strikes them about water polo that thinks I really just got to give that a go?
Oh, so many things, so many different things. That can be the fitness. That can be the social thing that you can't really have in other individual sports. That can be, well, we do a lot of social actually.
So that's quite a key thing, the social side. So I mean, you come into Australia, yeah, and you had, you know,
absolutely, absolutely,
and you've increased your social base probably fourfold
at least. Yeah. Definitely. No, that's really great social thing to do, and yeah, really enjoy. Well, if you don't like the water, maybe water polo is not the best thing ever. But
you'd have to like swimming on some level, I imagine.
Somebody said that I look like I'm simulating drowning. They said that to me one day. I said, no, I was swimming. But anyway, so they said I felt they were going to dive in and save me. But
I watched a game of water polo a while ago between the Surge and the Stingers. This is a while ago now. Mm. It looked like a pretty intense
sport. It is really intense. There's not supposed to, but there's kind of a bit of fighting in the water. So, but like,
some people might be interested in that.
It's a contact sport, so you know, and you're not wearing much, so you know, you've got to grab and hold on to whatever you can.
And you're wet.
And you're wet too, which makes you very slippery.
So I'm just wondering, so what is the commitment? You know, can I suppose, you know, come down a couple of days a week, have a poor diet, not look after myself and still play? Or are you guys, what, training four times a week, 6 a.m. till, you know, 9 in the morning, this kind of stuff? Whereabouts are we on the spectrum?
That'd be great, in theory.
Mm.
That's not what we do. We train once a week on Sundays. Mm. And when we have the competition going on, we have one game per week.
Yep.
And for those who want, we have swimming training once a week. So
it's not bad, is it? So what, Sunday morning, and then that sort of stops you from...
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
Sunday morning. I was going to say,
well, maybe it keeps you off the terps the night before, but that's all right. You can still have a high hangover on a Sunday.
They still manage to play with a hangover.
It's a perfect cure for a hangover, actually.
I can imagine. So who are you guys...
How many ghoulies grabbed out underwater?
Who are you guys playing then? I mean, are you sort of playing each other?
Domestically?
Yeah.
So we play in the Metropolitan League domestically. So we play against other teams around Melbourne. So it's at MSAC, and we basically play off. There's 5 or 6 other clubs around Melbourne, and we have a regular competition. So pretty much all other straight teams. We're the only gay team in the comp, but we tend to hold our own in the water as well.
Yeah, doesn't mean there's no gay players in the other team, but they don't say it just yet.
You find them out on a phone-based application before the game. Maybe. I don't know. What is the reaction like? I mean, you're the only gays in the village, but what is the reaction from the straight teams like?
We're a bit as tough as the other teams, so that doesn't really make any difference. And yeah, I don't think that's an issue for anyone at the moment, but yeah.
So, being midsummer, it's kind of interesting how midsummer's, you know, promoting a lot of sports now, which is brilliant. They sort of go hand in hand. You guys must be getting involved. I've seen you out there on Carnival Day. Is there anything else involved in the midsummer program for you?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the Come and Try Sports Day, which is coming up as part of the Queer Sports Alliance.
Yeah, so whereabouts is that?
And I think that's held over at Footscray Victoria University this year. So,
oh, yeah.
It was a good venue last year, really great swimming pool for us, and we got in and had a really good go, and we had a really good turn up. So we're hoping that we'll have the same again this year.
And that's just for people who just want to show up, give it a crack.
Absolutely.
See what
it's like. Yeah, it's just really about coming along, seeing how it kind of goes, finding out a few of the basics, jumping in the water and having a bit of a go, and seeing whether that's for you. So
and if that grabs you, what's your sort of path to becoming a fully fledged water polo player after that?
So we're running a Come and Try program, or what we call the Melbourne Surge Rookies program, and that's kind of an 8-week commitment, I guess, for individuals. You can come along for the first session for free, and really it's a case of come along, try it regularly for a few weeks. There's a modest charge to cover the pool fees and the coaching, and at the end of that, hopefully you'll know how to play water polo and be all excited about it.
Fantastic. And you'll be up at Mardi Gras Carnival this year. I always sort of look out for you guys there.
Yeah. Why would that be, Rolly? Well,
they're a lot better dressed than the rugby players, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's true. It's not hard, though.
No.
So Sydney, obviously, Sydney Stingers march a team along the parade route, and generally Melbourne joins in with that. We're normally under their banner, not our own, but it's always a good time. So, yeah, I expect quite a few of the lads will be up there again this year and joining in, and who knows what choreography we'll be leaping around to this year.
Yeah, well, what a great occasion. So if you are looking at playing some sport, you know, you can first of all come down and try it out, and if you like it, well, then there's all these other avenues. You know, you guys got the social events, you train on the Sunday afternoon, which is good to hear. There's the swimming as well, and, of course, you know, the other international places you go other than Sydney. So sounds like a great week, club. How many people have you got in the club?
There's about, I think, 45 active members in the club at the moment. So it's a decent size. And really, we encourage everyone, so people that really want to get competitive, through for those people that just want to turn up to social events and jump in the water occasionally for us. It's really about catering for everyone that wants to.
And, of course, supporters who just want to sit on the sideline and cheer on.
Absolutely, yeah. There's just one thing this year that we've had. We've had a few girls who were interested in signing up as well.
Yeah.
So we've tried for a long time to get some girls joining the team, and this year looks like there's quite a few that are interesting.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
That'd be great to have even more girls so that we can have a proper feminine team.
Awesome news. So, of course, if you're female and want to get involved in the water polo, you can also get in touch with them, and hopefully we can get a team out there going as well. Thanks, guys, for joining us tonight in the locker room. You're on Joy 94.9.
Salut, c'est Manu et vous êtes en train d'écouter Joy 94.9.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The Locker Room.
And you're on The Locker Room on Joy 94.9. Let's talk about AFL because it's January and it's Melbourne, and why wouldn't we want to talk about AFL, of course? It's peak season for AFL. We're going to be joined on the line by Jason Ball. Jason will be known to many of our listeners as a fellow who's been lobbying the AFL for quite some time now to take the issue of homophobia in the Australian Football League and across the country seriously. Jason is now appearing in a documentary which will be used to educate AFL players about homophobic vilification within the sport. Welcome, Jason, to the locker room.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Always a pleasure. Can you tell us a bit more about this documentary?
Yeah, sure. Well, the documentary was one of four documentaries produced by the AFL as part of their discrimination and vilification training. So alongside myself, they also produced a documentary featuring Simon Hogan, who's the Geelong player that suffered from depression. And they also featured one with a female footballer to talk about gender and sexism. And they also featured an Indigenous footballer. So it's sort of part of the broad spectrum of their policies. But what's new about it is that sexual orientation has been added to the list of discrimination and vilification. So this is the first time that homophobia specifically has been spoken about in this context. And my documentary forms part of the learning as a way to, I guess, provide a personal story and some context in football language, I suppose, to complement the learning.
Jason, beyond the documentary, what else is involved in this, I suppose, this education that the AFL is doing?
Sure. Well, the AFL have consulted with No to Homophobia and also the Victorian Equal Opportunities and Human Rights Commission for a number of years now to produce this education. So, you know, alongside my documentary, that it's also, you know, they'll lead discussion about it. And what I think is great is that they're isolating 1 to 3 year players as part of the learning, which is, you know, you might think, why are they doing that? And it actually makes a bit of sense when you think about some of the more senior players holding sort of entrenched views. And when you get the younger players sort of isolated and on their own, you can actually really reach them, whereas it's a lot harder to reach those older players, especially if they're on their own.
Now you're talking standard gay recruitment ideas, you know, get them while they're young.
They're impressionable, yeah.
That's right, exactly, you know, what we're accused of doing. Is that still a big step for the AFL? Because we don't always get the most positive noises coming out of the league about these sorts of issues.
Well, I mean, I think we've had a lot of positive noises from the league coming out. We just haven't seen a lot, I guess, in a way of actual action. So that's why I think this is really, really key. And the good thing as well is that I've also been involved in part of the training for football at a grassroots level. So I was invited to address all of the presidents of different football leagues from around country Australia, all of the regional football leagues, and share my story as part of their learning on this journey. And they actually, it's not administered by the AFL. Each of these leagues have their own training that they put together, but they're provided with resources by the AFL in order to do it. And so they were provided with my story as part of that.
Jason, do you still think there's a level of ignorance when it comes to dealing with homophobia in the AFL or even just in sport in general? Do you think, you know, the AFL, this is really them saying, no, we're dealing with the issue now?
Well, look, there is definitely a level of ignorance, and it's not necessarily just ignorance, but just lack of awareness. I think, you know, and unless you've actually sat down and thought about these issues, you actually wouldn't really have much of an idea of why using homophobic language is a bad thing. And I think part of my approach has really been not to attack people, not to just outright call them bigots or homophobes, because then you get people often become very defensive. But if you can show some understanding and sort of take them on the journey with you, I think that's a much better approach to get them on board.
And on that sort of subject of going on the journey, it's probably been quite the journey for you as well, I imagine. You know, this has been, you've been on this sort of campaign for some time. Did you sort of come into this thinking you would become a kind of standard bearer for promoting inclusiveness in the AFL?
No, absolutely. I didn't expect it when the opportunity came up. And I mean, you know, it wasn't even really my idea. Like the change.org and some people behind the scenes were looking to lobby the AFL, and they were looking for someone who had a personal story and someone who played football to sort of face the campaign. And the opportunity came up for me, and I just, I guess, ran with it. But I really wasn't expecting what has eventuated over the past few years to happen. I didn't expect to become, I guess, I don't know, a symbol for tackling homophobia in sport or coming out in sport. But I guess I'm the kind of person that would make the most of any opportunity. And so when this opportunity came up for me, I really did want to make the most of it. And, you know, I think the success sort of speaks for itself.
Jason, last year my co-host Smithy proclaimed 2013 as the year of the athlete coming out. Do you think 2014 is going to be where we see someone come out in the AFL?
Look, possibly. It's not really, I don't think, my job to speculate on that. I think I see my role as really...
Oh, come on.
I mean, to be honest, I haven't heard any rumblings or anything like that behind the scenes. You know, I haven't had any AFL players get in contact with me to say that they're thinking about coming out. Like, you know, I thought maybe that might happen. But to be honest, it hasn't happened. So
that's exactly what Robbie Rogers said, believe it or not. Robbie Rogers, last week in the UK press, was expecting people to get in contact with him from, you know, of course, the Premiership and Championship, and he said nobody did. So there you go.
Jason, have you had any contact from players more at a grassroots level who are gay and playing or maybe closeted or, you know, are out to their teammates as well in the same way you are?
That is something that I have had a lot of. I've been almost overwhelmed with the amount of people who have written to me or sent me a tweet or a Facebook message to say that they've seen the story in the news and it gave them the courage to come out to their own football team or to even come out to their family or something like that. But even hearing from stories from people who used to play football once upon a time and stopped playing because they couldn't handle the level of homophobia they experienced in that environment, you know, that was quite heartbreaking as well. And I think it shows that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are gay playing sport, and it's good to see them speaking up. But I think the real difference is at a pro level, you know, they've got all of the added pressure of media attention and sponsorship deals. And I think when it's your livelihood, when it's your career, you don't want to do anything that there's like that might risk that. And even though, you know, my story has been positive and there's been a lot of, you know, positive outcomes on it, no one has done that at a pro level in the AFL yet. And I think that's probably scary for a lot of those players. No one wants to be first. No one wants to take that risk because until it happens, all you're going to fear is the worst.
Jason, thanks so much again for joining us in the locker room. It's always, every time we talk to you, you've always got some great initiative going on. I bet you next time we talk to you, you'll have organised the Pride round. We'll have Hawthorn versus, I don't know, Sydney. You'll already have the fireworks there and all ready to go.
The 50-metre arc will be painted in rainbow colours.
You're just the kind of person that every time I see you, you're doing something amazing. So can't wait to talk to you next time and find out what you're up to. But it's an awesome initiative and we're ready. Of course, the community is very proud of what you're doing. You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The locker room.
Crossing live to Olympic Boulevard here in Melbourne. Federer is up 2-1. So Andy Murray, what do you think? Who would you go for? Are you a Murray man or a Federer man?
Look, I've always been a big fan of Roger Federer, but there's an emotional appeal to Andy Murray at the moment, I think.
Why?
We've lost three finals. It's time for him to win one.
Murray. Yeah.
I've got a couple of good Scottish friends who are very proud of him.
Of Murray?
Yeah. And they firmly believe he's Scottish rather than...
Yeah, I just noticed they've got the Union Jack next to his face.
Yeah, so controversial.
Our producer in studio, he's yelling out with his hands up in the air, but he is English. It's funny how they claim him as British, and then if he's a loser, they say, oh, no, he's Scottish. Scottish.
There's actually a political tug-of-war going on about Andy Murray at the moment between the pro- and anti-independence camp, because there's a referendum in Scotland next year about independence, and they're both claiming that Andy Murray is one of theirs. And he's not saying which way he's going to vote, which is, you know, it's a secret ballot and it's fair enough, really. But
a bit of a poster child for the Scottish independence.
Well, quite possibly. It'd be a big coup if they could get him on board.
Ooh, there you go.
They need all the help they can get,
I think. That was the problem with the Australian Republic debate. We didn't have an Andy Murray on the Republic
side. Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah, and Eddie Maguire.
Yeah, just didn't have it, did it?
Next time we need to get a sports star.
Yeah, Mitchell Johnson with his handlebar mo saying,
"Yeah,
make me president.
Stuff you, Queen." Something like that. All right, Smithy, hit me with your best shot.
Well, I don't know if it's so controversial, this editorial today, but I want to say I think it's time we called a truce on speculating which athletes are gay and which athletes aren't. I think they're coming out of the closet now when they feel comfortable in doing so. And, you know, we talked about last year being the year of the coming out, and this year it seems that
Don't you think the gays are the worst at this, though? You think the gays are actually worse than if you ever read the comments at the bottom, not that I read the Herald Sun, but if you go to the comments, sometimes people are like, I don't care. And is it sometimes more our community that the ones that care more?
Well, I think we're entitled maybe to find it interesting when someone does come out, but I think we need to stop the speculation. It probably doesn't just come from our community, but I would say the speculation about it all is quite unhelpful. But look, it's happening anyway. So we've had retired Premier League footballer Thomas Hitzlsperger. Hitzlsperger, how do you say that, Rolly?
Hitzlsperger. Look, he's only... Yeah, Hitzlsperger. Yeah, that's it, I think. Hitzlsperger. Look, he's 31, so he's not old.
Yeah.
I wonder whether he'll come back.
And we had Brazilian diver Ian Matos, who said he was inspired by Tom Daley.
Oh, you're really crap at pronouncing foreign names too.
Oh, that's not true at all.
Must be like an Antipodean thing.
Oh, I'm so offended.
Well, we need to go back to school.
He said he didn't want to hide boyfriends and avoid gay parties. He wanted to be himself, so he decided to come out. So we see it's happening. We're seeing the You Can Play campaign. We're seeing the Principle 6 campaign. The commissioner from the National Hockey League came out and said that his league is ready for a player to come out and thinks it would be welcomed in his sport. So we're seeing this momentum, we're seeing this change. But underneath all of that, we're sort of seeing these undercurrents of endless speculation of who isn't gay. And I think it's a principle we need to stand up against. And, you know, I play rugby with the Melbourne Chargers, as do you, and one of the Chargers express values that it signs up to is of being inclusive and welcoming, and to say that you welcome everyone regardless of their sexuality. And I took all the Chargers 5 values and I stuck them on my wall at my office at work. And it's amazing how many people came up to me and said, oh, I thought the Chargers was just for gay people. And I said, no, we don't subject people to a test. Like, you don't have people showing up and say, well, are you gay or not? And if you're not, out the door. We don't. And not only do we say, are you gay or straight, we don't ask them that question. We just don't go down that path. People turn up and say, we want to play. And that's just it. Like, the point of being inclusive and welcoming as a community is actually saying people will come out and reveal their sexuality to you when they feel comfortable doing so, or perhaps never. And it's actually none of your goddamn business. And we should stop this speculation about who is and isn't gay. It's counterproductive to our movement as a community to make sports inclusive and welcoming.
Usually I like to argue against you, but I just can't.
You can't come up with an argument.
I'm trying to pick a hole in your argument. I'm trying to pitch you as Tony Abbott and I'm Bill Shorten, but I just can't find it, Tony.
Yeah, maybe this is not controversial enough, but let's talk about NFL player Aaron Rodgers, because he was subject to quite persistent rumours that he, in fact, was gay. And look, maybe in talking about this, I'm perpetuating it, but look, let's go with it anyway. And he came out eventually and said he was really, really not gay, basically, is the way he was actually able to deal with it. He basically said...
So he came out or he didn't come out?
Well, he didn't come out. He said, I really, really like women.
Oh, so he
a lot.
So he came out. He came out as really, really liking women.
Yeah. But that's how he felt he had to deal with it. And it was like going back 20 years to an episode of Seinfeld, hearing people say not that there's anything wrong. And he didn't even say that. Like, he didn't even go down that path of saying, you know, I've got gay friends or whatever. He just said, I really, really like chicks.
Which is fine. He didn't didn't do a Jason Donovan.
But think about what that rumour and speculation has done to the poor bloke. Look, if he's actually straight, then what we've forced him to do is go down this very awkward, very embarrassing path of sort of confirming his true sexuality to us by, like, over-enthusiastically promoting his love for women. Mm. If he's actually gay, then what's happened is he's been forced into saying a lie publicly. Mm. He feels that he has to respond, but he doesn't feel that he can respond by saying, oh, I'm gay.
But then he could be anywhere in between.
That's right.
And the problem is that he may side with women, but then, of course, he may still have, you know, other feelings.
He may not, and then he sort of attach a label to himself, like Tom Daly, who actually just said, I'm seeing a bloke and I still fancy girls. And yet still half of the media of that was Tom Daly says he's gay, which he actually didn't say.
Mm. Isn't it funny? Yeah, the people that didn't attack him for, you know, taking so long to come out then started attacking him, go, oh, he's bisexual, or he's just confused, or he doesn't know where he's going. So it was like, it didn't matter. Everybody was just, people were just going to demonise him anyway. But of course, you're right. You know, maybe he's not gay. Maybe he is just going out with a dude.
Yeah, and staying on the American football theme, we had Monty Teo, who, it was quite a bizarre story, and I won't bore you with all the details, but...
This is the one with the text messaging?
Yeah, this is the one with the fake dead girlfriend.
The fake dead girl? Oh, I love
it. He invented sort of a fake girlfriend who then died, and, you know, he had a kind of episode with a mental illness. It was a completely bizarre story. But he was interviewed by Katie Couric, and he was asked that maybe one of the... It was put to him that maybe one of the reasons why he invented a fake dead girlfriend as an NFL player is that his true sexual orientation was towards men. And he was asked about that, and he said, no, I'm not gay, far from it. Far from it. That's how he had to put it. He had to, like, distance himself with an elongated vowel so that people weren't going to think he was gay.
Well, there you go. So what?
So I don't know why Katie Couric thought...
What was the fake girlfriend for?
Well, that's still open for question, but why does a journalist feel a need to put a question like that?
Well, that was like the whole Oprah thing, which was terrible, wasn't it? Remember they asked her...
Her friend Gail. Anyway.
Terrible.
So I think it's time to stop. And I think we all owe responsibility to all athletes, gay and straight, to applaud them and celebrate them when they do come out, or come out in favour of just inclusivity in sport if they're straight.
Send them a tweet.
Send them a tweet. Be positive, encouraging, but stop the speculation. It doesn't do anything for anyone. And that's my editorial.
You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
This is Nick Skiff, and you've tuned in to Joy 94.9.
GLBTI sporting news that matters to you. Matters to you. The Locker Room.
3 minutes to eight. We've had a very interesting show tonight. So, of course, thanks to Sebastian and Julian from The Surge and our great mate Jason Ball. But, Smithy, just to wrap up, what are a couple of things people can go and see this weekend in terms of sport?
A bit of T20 hit and giggle and that Big Bash competition that's sponsored by a fast food company.
Yes.
Melbourne Stars. They'll be playing the Perth Scorchers at the MCG on Monday the 27th of Jan.
Even though it's not on this weekend, I thought I'd just say I did register for the Neon Run around Albert Park, 5 kilometre run in February. So if you're thinking about having a bit of fun, yeah, I think it's...
Why is it called the Neon Run?
Oh, well, because you wear all your neons. It's white, it's at night, so they have three DJs around Albert Park. You can run or jog 5Ks. It's a great night out. You know, you can either walk it, jog it or run it. You're just looking at me strangely. It's really good.
I don't know the difference between running and jogging was.
Ah.
Well, from my own personal perspective, anyway.
Oh, like 80%, 50%.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So other than hit and giggle, what else we got?
Well, there's a final of the Australian Open on. Men's and women's.
Yeah. Okay. Just that.
You might want to watch that.
Well, it might be interesting this year because I get bored of, like, Djokovic in there all the time. They might have someone else.
They might have someone different there.
Might be Andy Murray.
Well, I'm hoping for Andy Murray.
Mm. And what else have we got on? Victory, they'll be playing. Oh, it's Australia Day weekend, isn't it? There must be something else on.
Yeah, Victory are playing Sydney FC on Sunday at Etihad Stadium. Mm-hmm. The Victory got absolutely flogged last week, so they're going to have to turn it around.
Yeah.
But the Melbourne Heart had a win.
Wow.
So there you go. Anything is possible.
And I know if you feel like swimming and swimming for miles around in Port Phillip Bay, the Great Australian Day Swim has been held there down in Brighton, if you want to go and have a look.
Ocean swimming.
Sounds horrible, doesn't it?
Much effort. If anyone out there who does ocean swimming, let us know and we'll find out what on earth would motivate you to do that.
Yeah, exactly right. Just ask Ted Bailey and you know what happened to him. Right. Thank you so much for joining us this week in the Locker Room. Smithy, I'll see you next week. And this has been us tonight on Joy 94.9.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.